And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. Welcome to Power of Prophecy. We're going to have another great program today. I say it's great because it comes from the Word of God, the New Covenant. It's alive. And the Old Covenant, it's dead and gone. Think about that, my friends. The New Covenant is alive. And the Old Covenant is dead and gone. Have you ever got anything new in your life? A new dress? New haircut? I'll tell you, I don't know, a new pair of shoes? I bet you were glad when you got something new. Well, think about having a new life, a new covenant. Now, we're not just talking about a covenant, a set of old laws. We're talking about a covenant that will save you eternally. It means everything to you. It means new life. It means life forever. It means no sickness. You're going to be in great health, prosperous, happy, contented, forever. Now, that's what, who can complain about that? The new covenant. But there's an old covenant. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't buy many pairs of shoes. We were pretty poor. We just had one pair of shoes at a time. And the old pair got quite old. And what leather was on them, you know, was just worn off, even though we tried to shine it. And sometimes the shoes were too small for our feet. We had grown over the previous year or so. We couldn't even get them on. They hurt our feet. When we walked, they would actually hurt us. We were really ready for a new pair of shoes. And so think about it. Now, in the Old Testament, there's an old covenant. It was all right for its time. It was a shadow of things to come. But it was only a shadow. It wasn't the real thing. It was just a shadow. You know, there's a kid down my block. I saw him out with his dad, and he was riding a bicycle. He was a little tight. He's about 3 years old, I guess. And he had wheels on the back. They had three wheels on the back and one wheel in the front. In other words, he had these training wheels. I think they call them training wheels. He was just going to town, though, riding that bicycle on those training wheels. And his dad said to him, now we're going to take off these wheels, these training wheels, and let you really ride the bicycle. Oh, the kid was really excited then. And his dad took off those training wheels and said, okay, now you ride the real bicycle. And you know, he was sort of imperfect his first couple of times. He fell over. But then he got going. Oh, he got on that bicycle. He got going. He was so happy with himself. I can ride the bicycle. I'm not on the beginner's. I'm not on that tricycle anymore. He can really ride it. I guess there are a lot of things in life like that. Maybe when you were driving a car. You know, at first you had to have somebody in the car with you, didn't you? I know I did. Several times you'd have to have somebody in the car with you. You'd go off the road and run into the ditch or whatever if you didn't. Had to have a guide. Had somebody was there with you, showing you the way, showing you how to drive. But eventually you got more skilled. You know, you were just an apprentice at first, but then you became more expert. And you began to drive on your own, and you were really happy about it. I remember I would just take the car out for a drive. I was happy just to be driving. I would go anywhere. I'd go up to the local little convenience store and buy me a Coke just to say I drove. I drove the car by myself. That's sort of like the old covenant and the new covenant. When the new covenant came and it replaced the old covenant, yes, it did. It means everything. Now you can fly. Now, I feel like that. I feel so high and mighty, and I'm flying. I'm flying with Jesus Christ in my heart. because he came and he was the new covenant. A lot of people don't know what the word covenant means. A covenant is a promise somebody gives you. We have covenants in our neighborhoods. It means everybody agrees together to do a certain thing. And they put it in writing. It's put down in writing and, you know, you get him go take it to court, I suppose. I know here in Austin we've been having a drought. And they passed an ordinance that said you can't water your, you can't clean your car. A lot of dirty cars out there running around because they can't use the water hose to wash off their car. They have a ordinance made against that. Don't wash your car. It's a covenant. People make it up amongst themselves and say, we're going to obey that. We're going to obey it because it's for our own good. Now, when Jesus came, he gave us a new covenant. Well, why didn't he just confirm the old? Aha. Why didn't he say, I like the old covenant? I mean, you know, the covenant of Abraham and Moses and such. What was wrong with that covenant? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. It was a promise of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that difference. The old covenant, the first covenant, was okay. It helped men to sort of a guide for them, a shadow of something wonderful to come. But when the thing that was to come, the future thing, came, they didn't need the old covenant. The kid didn't need his training wheels anymore. You don't need a driver in the car with you. You can drive on your own. You got Jesus in your heart now. You didn't have Jesus before. Now you got Jesus in your heart. There's a song I think sung by Underwood. What's her name now? Carrie Underwood. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcast engineer here. Carrie Underwood's a beautiful song. Jesus, take the wheel. Boy, when life is going some way you didn't want it to go, or some way you just need help. You just cry out, Jesus, take the wheel. I like that song. I like that song a lot. You know, I was at a church one day. The pastor was up preaching, and he was saying, if you want Jesus in your heart, ask him and pray for him today to come in your heart. And somebody in the back of the church, he said, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. But there was a man in the back of the church, and he I heard him cry out. He said, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Please help my unbelief. Did you know that if you don't have enough faith, you can ask and God will give it to you? Now, the Jews had a covenant. It was an old covenant. It was flawed. It was flawed. That's not my word. That's the King James word. It was flawed. And Jesus came and he was the better covenant. Now, all these Baptists and Assemblies of God and Pentecost, all these people don't understand the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. The old covenant was based on Jesus, what was to come, but was not Jesus. But the new covenant is Jesus. So many people tell me, well, the Jews have their old covenant. It's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Jesus came. He was the new covenant. He is the new covenant. You can't go back to the old covenant. If you've already learned to drive and you're an excellent driver, you don't go to driver school to learn how to drive, do you? The little boy who had three wheels in the back, he had training wheels. After he's been riding a bicycle, let's say he's become, you know, a champion bicycle rider. He rides hundreds of miles a week. He wins medals, going off to France to the French, whatever, they have the bicycle. He doesn't go back, put a training wheels on his bike. He's gone past that. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you've got it all, my friends. Why would you want to give them? Say, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take the training wheels version. I'm going to take the beginner's version. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to learn anew. What? Well, that's okay. You can go back. But believe me, you can never see Jesus again. I'm telling you right now. If you reject the new covenant, I didn't say now that you didn't sin. Everybody sins. There's none righteous. We all have to ask forgiveness. You can be forgiven if you sin. But if you say, I don't want the new covenant, I don't want what Jesus had, I don't want that cross, then you can't go back again and get it. I can prove that in the Bible. Now, let's look at the Bible, because this problem here, this thing with a new covenant, is so misunderstood, and I don't know why it is. It's so glorious. It's like a light shining. You don't want to go back into darkness. The old covenant is darkness. It's darkness. Go forward into the light with the new covenant. Now, turn with me to Hebrews in the Bible. Hebrews. Now, in chapter 7 of Hebrews, it talks about Abraham meeting up with a high priest. He did. He met with a high priest. And he learned of Jesus. And he testified, thou art a priest, is verse 17, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 16, it says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now, which is stronger? Which is more durable? Which is more lasting? Which is more powerful? A commandment? A carnal commandment? Or the power of an endless life? Jesus had an endless life. Endless. He was there at the beginning. And he'll be forevermore with God. He was with God from the beginning and was God. Verse 19 says, of chapter 7 of Hebrews says, for the law, that's what the covenant is based on, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Now think about that. The law made nothing perfect. Jews cannot be perfect. The law cannot make them perfect. You remember the young ruler that came to Jesus and said, I followed the law since I was a young man. I've obeyed all the laws. And Jesus says, yes, but you lack one thing. You lack just one thing. I suspect he was not lying. He was a good man. He had obeyed all the laws, he said, but that did not make him perfect. There was one thing he lacked. There will always be one thing you lack. If you're a Jew and you don't have Jesus, you lack one thing. Well, wait just a minute. I've obeyed the laws. I've learned the Talmud. I've studied the Kabbalah for years. I'm one of the greatest rabbis of all time. There's something that you're lacking, my friend. Let me tell you what you're lacking. You're lacking a love of Jesus. Jesus told the young ruler, he was very rich. He said, take everything you've got, sell it, give it to the poor, and come, follow me. He was invited. It was a great invitation. He should have accepted it. He should have given everything he wanted. He should have immediately said, come and take it. You can have it. I have found the one thing, the pearl of great price. That's what he should have done. But he went away very unhappy. Very unhappy. You see, he was very rich. But he was not made perfect. For the law, it says in verse 19 of chapter 7 of Hebrews, the law makes nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did. What's a better hope? You obey the law. You obey the old covenant. You believe in the old covenant, but you're still not perfect. What do you need? You need hope. Hope. Spell J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Hope. The hope of glory. The glory. You need the glory, my friends. By the which we draw nigh unto God. That's how you draw close to God. Through the hope that Jesus Christ gives you. Verse 22 says, by So much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That testament is a covenant. A testament is a covenant. Verse 24 says, this man, Jesus, that is, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Think about that. He's a forever person. He's been there forever. He is forever. He's unchanging. He will always do what is expected because it's right. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He's not going to take a day off. He's not going to take a vacation. You can call out to him. You can reach him. You can get on your knees right now and he'll listen to you. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. If you come unto God by Jesus, he will save you. He is able to do it. Why? Because he's a forever person. He has an unending life, the Bible says. Verse 26 says, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus is higher than the heavens. Undefiled, holy, harmless, separate from sinners. 27, who needeth not daily, he doesn't need it, he doesn't need this, as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. The high priests go in the temple, they offered up sacrifice. Jesus didn't. He didn't make sacrifice. He was God. What can he make sacrifice to? He was the highest. He was higher than the heavens. It says, for this he did once when he offered up himself. He did sacrifice then. One time. He sacrificed. What did he sacrifice? Himself on the cross. And you know what? When God sacrifices himself, it's good for all time. He's unchanging, unending. For this he did once when he offered up himself, it says. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. Men have infirmities. They have sins. One man may be tempted because he gets mad all the time. Needs to curb that temper. Another man sees a woman and goes, oh my goodness. Another woman is jealous. She has envy. All of us are tempted. All of us sometimes yield to these terrible things. We have to seek forgiveness. Priests have infirmity. They're not perfect. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Chapter 8 says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You can't set up a tabernacle like this. You can't build a temple like this. He's not on earth anymore. He's in heaven. He's majestic. He's our majesty in the heavens. Now, listen to this. Verse 4 says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. He didn't offer any gifts to himself. He is God. Why should he offer gifts to himself? He doesn't do that. That's for the priests here on earth to do. You have a tithe, offer it up to God. You have something in your life, offer it up to God. It's good for you. Good for your faith. Good for your soul. Priests offer gifts according to the law. Now, gifts are not going to save you, but it's nice for the soul. It's nice. You realize that you worship God. But God is God. He doesn't have to offer gifts to himself. He's in the heavens. He's above the heavens. Now, these priests who offer gifts, these rabbis who offer gifts, they're called rabbis in Israel, of course, Catholic priest in the Catholic faith. Verse 5 says, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Moses was told, build a tabernacle and build it exactly like this. A pattern. Here's a pattern for you. And these priests, they're told, what you're going to give is you're offering up a gift to God. And this is an example and a shadow of heavenly things. But you're doing it on earth. You're not in heaven. It's an inferior thing you're doing. But how about what Jesus does? He's already offered the sacrifice. One time for all time. Forever. And verse 6 of chapter 8 says, in Hebrews says, but now, listen to this now. Listen to this, folks. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Uh-oh. That's it. Jesus has a more excellent ministry. All the rabbis in Jerusalem put together don't have the ministry that Jesus Christ has. They're on earth here. They're on earth. They're offering gifts and they're doing all these things and making sacrifices. Something that's already been done. Jesus offered the sacrifice once and for all. Why are they offering more sacrifices? I used to have a good friend, J.R. Church, prophecy in the news ministry, and he used to tell me, someday we're going to reinstitute the sacrifices. We're going to find the red heifer without spot, and we're going to sacrifice him to Jesus, and Jesus is going to enjoy all our sacrifices. Huh? I said, J.R., you're mixed up. Jesus already is in heaven, and he is the one sacrifice. Well, these are just memorials, you know, just to remember him by. Remember him? He's there. But now, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, more excellent than these rabbis are doing, more excellent than the Catholic priest. They're wasting their time and people's time. And they're insulting Jesus Christ. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to find a red heifer without spot or blemish. And we're going to, oh, nonsense. And that's going to exemplify Jesus? Are you kidding me? I see the rabbis once a year, they go and take chickens and, you know, wring their necks and all this other stuff and sprinkle the blood around. Oh, this is a sacrifice to you, God. He doesn't care about the blood of chickens. The blood of chickens, he sacrificed himself on the cross. And that is a much more excellent ministry, my friends. He is the mediator of a better covenant. Now, some people say the old covenant is everlasting. Really? The old covenant is forever. Really? So Jesus never came then. The Bible here says it was a shadow of things to come, an example. That's what it says in verse 5. Unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. That's all it is. That's all it was. It's gone now. You don't need it anymore. You don't need the, it's, I don't know how I can use an example of this, but when I was a young man, I looked forward and said, someday I'm going to meet the right girl. She's going to be a wonderful person. She's going to be lovely. She's going to have a good personality. I'm going to enjoy her company, et cetera. Well, I've met Wanda. She's the real thing. Now don't go out looking for other women. Because she would kill me if I found one. No, I'm only kidding. She would, but that's neither here nor there. I don't look because I've got the best. She's already with me. I don't need to look. She's not an example of something better. She is the better. She's not a shadow of something to come. Hey, she's been with me 37 years. Now, Jesus is the mediator. That means he mediates. He is the covenant. He explains the rules of it, how the guidelines, everything about it, of a new covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, I met a few women before Wanda did. Quite a few, in fact. And they always had a few little things wrong with them, that or that. Or we didn't get along, or they weren't, you know, what I wanted. Or, you know, maybe I wasn't what a few of them wanted. We just weren't made for each other, I suppose. I remember Wanda, when we first began our ministry, we went to Chicago. And we were sort of dumb about how to, you know, do things. And I had this new book. I'd written this book called Dark Secrets of the New Age. And so I decided the way to really promote this book was to go to radio stations, and I would just walk in and ask them if I could be on their radio program. Well, you know, a lot of record stars, you know, the singers, entertainers, that's what they've done. I remember reading, who was it, Loretta Lynn and her husband? I think it was Loretta Lynn, the country singer. They would just go to a radio station, bring one of the records, say, this is the singer, here's the radio, or here's the record, would you please play it? And, you know, some of them would play it. And, you know, that was a hard way to do it, my friends. You needed a big record company that would have all the promotion and send all the... You don't do anything yourself. You have all the promotion and all that. Well, I didn't have anybody to do those things for me. My publisher wasn't promoting my book. So I just went around to all the radio. I thought, well, the word will get out on my book if I go to these radio stations. So we were in Chicago. And we were downtown, I think it's called Wacker Avenue or something like that. And I saw this giant building. Man, it was huge. It said WGN. Oh, WGN. They had the Chicago Cubs baseball team would play their games. And it was always broadcast on WGN. Now, I'm not a baseball fan, but I remember reading that somewhere. And I said, surely they have other programs, maybe talk shows. Let's go in there and see if I can be on one of them, Wanda. And just as it so happened, I don't believe in coincidences. But as it happened, there was no parking in the entire city of Chicago. But a parking place opened up immediately right in front of me, and it was right where that building was. It was a huge building. I couldn't see the top of it. All the skyscrapers were there. I couldn't see the top of WGN. It was in a big building. And I went in that building, Wanda and I, parked our car right there. The only parking place in the whole, I promise you, in the whole city of Chicago. And there was a young black girl was there. And my book had just come out a couple days before that. And it was something like, you know, one of thousands of books that are published, nothing. And I was going to ask that black, she was the receptionist. She was very attractive and sitting there. I was going to ask her, you know, Wanda was with me. I was going to say, do y'all have a talk show here? Could I be a guest on it? But I was shocked because she was reading my book. She was, of all the books in the world, there are millions, my friends. Go to a bookstore and see. She was actually reading my book. And I looked at her, and she turned to the back of the book and had a little, about two inch picture of Tex Mars on the back of the cover. And before I could say a word, she says, this is your book. I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I thought I had it made there. I thought I had it made then. This girl's reading my book. She's going to get me on a radio show. And suddenly she said, she turned to Wanda and she said, God sent you to me. I was just standing there. What? She said, God sent you to me, to Wanda. Well, when we come back in just a moment, you're going to find out the end of that story. I've told it a couple of times before, but it shows the power of God, how he is the mediator of a new covenant. And if you have Jesus in you, if you have the author and the finisher of that covenant, the everlasting person who brings the everlasting covenant to you, which is established upon better promises than the old covenant, you're going to see exactly what I mean when I give you this perfect example in real life that happened to me in Chicago. When I return, just a minute. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. I want to tell you about my BibleHomeChurch.org. It's a website on which you can listen to sermon messages given by me each week. In fact, you can listen all 24 hours a day if you want to. We have an archive of all the past sermons and topics. But each week, it's only 30 minutes, and you'll get a blessing from it. I get a blessing from giving it. I really do. It's got its own website, BibleHomeChurch.org, O-R-G. Go there and click onto the radio program and listen to it. You'll be blessed. You really will. Now, you can join us. We have a worldwide congregation. And anyone can be a member. Just write to me and tell me that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. You have faith in Christ Jesus. I'll believe you. And we'll sign you up. And you'll be right there as a member. Now, we ask for tithes and offerings and gifts. Sometimes we don't really say much about it. We don't beg. We don't demand. We don't do anything. But every once in a while, we offer you that opportunity. Somebody wrote to me recently and they said, Tex, you never ask for money on Bible Home Church. How do you survive? Well, God takes care of us. And we do, I think. I think about maybe every 9 or 10 programs we do ask for, you know, people who want to give. But it's understood by Christians that you need help. You need prayer, and we'll pray for you. Write to me, and I'll pray for you. Everyone here will pray for you. When we open the mail every day, we pray for those people who have sent requests to us. And you know what? God answers prayers. He answers our prayers. We'll pray for you. If you've got a sickness, an illness, if somebody in your house needs more faith, maybe you need more faith. Maybe you need Jesus in your life. Write to us, and we'll pray for you. Now, BibleHomeChurch.org. You know, on these programs, Power of Prophecy, we may talk about anything. Current events, the presidency, world affairs, Bible prophecy. We'll talk about anything. But when we give our sermon, when I talk on BibleHomeChurch.org, it's more churchy because we discuss the things of Jesus Christ, the things of the Lord, the things of the Holy Word, the Word of God. And I think you'll be inspired. You'll love it. You really will. Now, a lot of you, you don't have a church local, and I understand that. Boy, I've seen these churches, and they're just terrible. They really are. People write to me all the time. They say, Tex, in my town or my city, there's no good church here. They're not being picky. They're not church hoppers. They're not people who are looking for the perfect church. They know that men are not perfect. They want somebody that'll just believe in the Bible, that'll believe in Jesus Christ. They can't find that locally. I want you then to go to BibleHomeChurch.org and listen. And you'll see that we talk about Jesus and the Word of God. And we don't go off on any tangents. We don't give you theory. We don't give you what some guy came up with. There's nothing new that you're going to get there. There's something quite old, something you're going to appreciate. You will appreciate it. You'll feel better about yourself, and you'll feel better about your loved ones, and you'll be happy. You'll be happy you tuned in. You'll be thrilled. I promise you. Now, you got to listen, and when you do, you know, sort of don't pay any attention to the old guy that speaks there. He's not very good. He gives these sermons. He's got an old voice, and he's sort of crazy. But just listen to the Word of God. Listen to what is said, the actual words, not who the messenger is. The messenger may be sort of messed up, but he's going to give you the straight Word of God, and you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, well, you'll just have to get in line. Because I'm telling you, it is the Word of God, period. But I want to invite you, BibleHomeChurch.org, BibleHomeChurch.org. You can listen to it 24 hours a day. It's 30 minutes a week. We got a new sermon. If you want to help us, then write to us here at Bible Home Church or Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Write to us. Send us a love gift or an offering of some amount. It may be $1, maybe $100. It doesn't matter. We'll use your gift. And by the way, I don't accept a salary from Bible Home Church. Some people say, well, why are you doing that? It's so much work to have a different website and go on. And well, because I'd love to do it. It's my job. And my boss tells me to get to work and do it. You know him, don't you, my boss? His name is God. And the thing about it is, I love this job. I love it. It's not really work. I've always heard, find something you love. I tell young people, find something you love to do and do that forever. Think about that. Find something you love to do and do that forever. That's the kind of job. That's the kind of occupation. This is my occupation. And boy, do I ever love it. All right. Now let's return to our regular program. You know, I was telling you on the other side my experience. I guess this is my testimony, my witness. There we were in that WGN. By the way, they had a fabulous reception area, and it was gorgeous, big marble floors and very expensive place. And this young, very attractive, very well-dressed young black girl was there, and she was reading my book. No one in the world, I'd never seen anybody with a book. It wasn't even in bookstores. Well, I guess it was in that one that she went to. It was just coming out. And she looked at the back of that as my picture, and she said, "This is your book." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Oh, I was all smiles. I thought, boy, I've got it made now. And then she turned to Juan Wanda, and she said, "God sent you to me. God sent you. You have a message for me." And Wanda says, "Well, what is it? What can I help you with?" Now, I believe there is a light that shines in Christians' faces, just a light that shines. And Wanda has that light. And this young lady said, "Well, I've got a problem. You see, I've got this boyfriend, and I care a lot for him, and he cares for me. He's Jehovah's Witness. And, you know, they don't believe in Jesus like we do." And Wanda said, you're a Christian? She said, "Yes." And she smiled. And she said, "I'm a baby Christian. I just became a Christian." And she said, "And he told me that I had to leave my Christian church. I had to leave what I believe and go and become a Jehovah's Witness with him if I wanted to marry him. Should I leave my church? Should I become a Jehovah's Witness? What should I do?" Well, Wanda simply said, "You've got to do what the Bible says. You've got to follow Jesus." And then Wanda witnessed to her that, you know, she couldn't drink from the cup of devils and have what Jesus offered. And she said, "God will give you somebody, maybe even this young man. Maybe he will become a Christian. You stand for Jesus and do not be brought forth into some strange way of belief." And that young girl, she was so happy that she had seen Jesus in my wife, Wanda. And she said, "Thank you so much. That's what I was wondering about that. And you have brought me the message that Jesus wanted me to know. Stay with Jesus. And I'm so happy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just so happy." Well, I said, "Well, I'm glad you're happy. Can I be on a talk show?" Well, to make a long story short, she said, "I'll see what I can do." Well, we went back to the hotel room, and guess what? We had another radio station, the largest, I think, in the whole Midwest. It was the Martin Downey Jr. Show on WMAQ, and that's the show that I went on for an hour and a half. Had a great message there and had a great, wonderful time. And that was heard all over the Midwest. But I never will forget that young girl who said, "God sent you to me." She knew that Wanda was the one. Something in her told Wanda that it was Wanda and not me, but I was the one that had authored the book. But I wasn't the one that God called to give that young lady the message. And it was not by strangeness that Wanda had gone into that station with me just for a few minutes and was standing by me. That's the way God is, my friend. God is so good. And you ask him for help. Whatever your situation is, like the man there in the church that I believe, help my unbelief. And God will do that. This young girl didn't know anything about Christianity. She had just become a baby Christian. She got that book. She didn't even know what the New Age movement was all about. She got the book because she was interested in any Christian book at all. She was trying to follow God. It was her lunch hour. So she was taking a break, but she was there and she was just receptionist during that hour. And God did indeed. He was faithful enough. He sent another woman to witness to her of the truth. Now let's return and continue on with today's message. We're talking about the covenant. The covenant. The better covenant. Why is it better? Because it's better. It tells you right away it's better than the old covenant. Now listen to verse 7.
of Hebrews chapter 8. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. If the first covenant had been faultless, without fault, then a second one wouldn't be needed, my friends. Now, isn't that simple? Now, when you hear a minister up saying, now, the old covenant is still in effect. The old covenant is still for the Jews. The old covenant was going to be brought back. The Jews are going to take over this earth, and they're going to be preachers of Jesus someday. They're all going to believe, and they're all going to bring back their old covenant, and shut up. You don't even believe in the Bible. The Bible says the first covenant, if it had been found faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There you go. That's in the Old Testament, friends. Paul is simply quoting the Old Testament. Behold, it says in the Old Testament, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not, verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. It's not going to be like the covenant that I had, the first covenant, the old covenant. That was, you know, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Remember when Jesus did that? Actually, God. Remember the burning bush? He led them and finally gave them the promised land. He said, I'll make a new covenant. And it won't be like the old covenant. It'll be better. It'll be better. Because, listen to this now, verse 9. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. They continued not in that old covenant. They all the Jews say, oh, we believe in the old covenant. We're obeying it. We're practicing it. We have the old covenant. We don't need Jesus. We don't need the new covenant. We don't need what he did on the cross. We've got an old covenant. We've got the great covenant. We've got the everlasting covenant. We're the Jews. We're the promised children. We're the chosen ones. And we've got a covenant. You didn't continue in that covenant. Don't try to deceive me, my friends. Don't try to fool the people who know and study the Word of God. The Bible says you didn't obey that covenant. You didn't continue in it. And no man could continue in it because it had faults built into it. I don't know why God did it that way. He just wanted to do it that way. Jesus came a little bit later on. He was a mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. He was a mystery. He said to you people, the old people, okay, now you obey this covenant. It's a shadow of things to come. Someday, though, I'm going to give you a new covenant. That's what he told the Jews. That's what he told Israel. Someday I'm going to come and give you a new covenant. It will be a better covenant. It won't be like this covenant. God actually told them that. That's in the Old Testament. Why? Because you didn't obey my old covenant. There's not one of you that obeyed it. Jesus said that in the New Testament. He told the Jews. They said, we believe in the law. We're of Abraham. He said, then why don't you obey the law? There was not one Jew who obeyed the law, even that young ruler I told you about. He said, I've obeyed the law since I was a young man. Jesus says, but you lack one thing. They continued not in my covenant. See, God had told them, if you obey my covenant, I will do these things for you. That's what they tell us right now. Oh, we've got all these promises of God. Oh, he gave us the old covenant and he promised us all these things. We're Jews. We've got all these promises. We're the chosen ones. If you obey the covenant, if you keep the covenant, but you can't keep the covenant. And so Jesus came as a better covenant. You did not regard the covenant. You didn't regard it as holy. You didn't regard it as a must-have. You didn't continue in it. So Jesus says, or God says here, and I regarded them not. He didn't give any regard. I'm your chosen one. I don't regard you as that, he says. Verse 10. Now listen to this. Verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The old covenant couldn't do that for them. The Jews say, I'm the children of God. I'm the people of God. No, you're not. But there will come a covenant. It'll be made with the house of Israel. That's all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. All who believe in Jesus Christ. They are the house of Israel. Why do I say that? Galatians 3, verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There it is, my friends. Christians. Are they Jews? Some of them are. Are they Gentiles? Some of them are. God didn't differentiate. He just said, whoever, if ye be Christ's, if you belong to Jesus, if you have faith, then you're Abraham's seed. Well, now, Abraham was a Jew, and you have to be a Jew. It doesn't say that there. It doesn't say, and if ye be Christ, and you're a Jew, then you're Abraham's seed. It says, if you be Christ, period. In fact, the verse right before that, read verses 26 to 29, says, this is the same, applies to the Greeks, that is the Gentiles, and the Jews. Now, a lot of people are shook up when they read it. They can't understand that because their local pastor never preaches that. Read it for yourself, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Verse 12 says, when God brings the new covenant, that's Jesus Christ now, when he brings Jesus, when Jesus comes, here's what he will do. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Ain't that good news? The old covenant couldn't promise that. It had faults in it. Built-in faults. God built them in because he knew Jesus was going to come. And Jesus would be the ultimate. He's the epitome. He's the highest. He's higher than the heavens. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to obey all the laws. You don't have to do all these things. You don't have to do all the sacrifices and all this nonsense. You have Jesus written on your heart. Jesus' law, that is, written in your heart. And he's going to be merciful to you. If you're a Christian, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile or whatever, if you're a Christian, God will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities, and he won't remember them anymore. I like that. I like it that God doesn't remember my sins anymore. Boy, I sure do. I remember them all the time. I'm not able to blot them out from my memory. I feel bad about a lot of things I've done in my life. Oh, I haven't murdered anybody, and I haven't done anything worthy maybe being thrown in a prison cell. But, you know, I've done some things in my life. I wish I hadn't. They've been forgiven, except by me, I guess. I remember them. But I know I'm forgiven for them. Now, verse 13 is essential. If you don't get anything that I've told you, if everything you've rejected, at least believe in this, in that he saith, that's he is God, a new covenant. When he says a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. It's vanishing. Just goes away. It's gone. There it is. When God said a new covenant, then what is he doing with the old one? Can you keep two covenants going at once? That's what the dispensationalists say. That's what the Baptists and all the others, not all of them, of course, some of them know the Bible. Thank God for them. That's what the Pentecostals and many of them say. Well, we keep the old going with the new. I'll take what happened before and Jesus. You know, you can't take the training wheels. You're going to be a champion riding that bicycle. You're going to ride that bicycle fast and straight. You're going to win all the contests, all the way to heaven. You don't want the training wheels. You're a driver. You don't need the instructor in the seat next to you telling you do this, do that, do this. You can drive on your own. You're a grown person. When God said a new covenant, what did he do with the old one? It's decaying. It's waxeth old. It's got old. It's ready to vanish away. This is during the time of Paul. Paul said it's vanishing away. Right then it was vanishing away. Jews were being told, there's a new covenant. Get on board, my friends. The train is here in the station. Get on board. Jesus Christ is alive and he's brought a new covenant. Ditch that old covenant and jump on the train. Live forevermore. The old covenant, you didn't obey it. And God said, if you don't obey me, I'm going to divorce you. That's what he said. That's in the Old Testament. If you don't obey, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to punish you. But I will bring a new covenant. Do you get that? God said, I will bring a new covenant. Someday I'll bring a new covenant. It'll be better than this one. And that new covenant will replace the old one. People say, oh, you believe in replacement theology. You believe we're replacing the Jews. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I don't believe in anything but what the Bible says. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this. Now, what is the Old Testament? I just told you it's waxing old, it's decaying. It's not good anymore. But there's a new covenant. And what's the old one? Listen, in 2 Corinthians, get this, folks. The old covenant is called the ministration of death. Oh, my goodness. When the new covenant has come that brings life, the old one brings death. Now, there's a ministry of glory. It's the ministration of the Spirit. It comes with glory. That's Jesus Christ. But there's a ministration of death. It's also called a ministration of condemnation. Because the old covenant condemns you. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't follow every one of the Ten Commandments, yep, you're not perfect. You're not righteous. It's called the ministration of death. So give the Jews their ministration of death. Is that what you want for the Jew? No, I want the Jews to have what I have. I want the Jews to have life. I want them to have the ministration of the Spirit. I want them to have the glory of Jesus Christ. And I want you to have it too, friends. In Corinthians chapter 3, it says, the epistles of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in tables that are hearts of flesh. It's in your flesh. It's in your heart. Now, you have a heart attack and the surgeon goes in, he can't see it, can he? It's invisible, just like God is invisible. But it's in your heart if you know Jesus Christ. You have the ministry. The Spirit is ministering to you. Think about that. The Spirit is ever ministering to you and bringing you the glory of Jesus. You're tempted to sin. Well, wait just a minute. Jesus within, he's your minister. He's your high priest. And he's saying, my glory wants you to be pure, to be a good person, to be lovely. Now, you don't want to do that sin anymore. You cast it out. He doesn't come to you and say, if you do that sin, I'm going to kill you. Does he? No. Now, Jeremiah predicted this new covenant. This is an old thing. This is something that's been predicted for a long time. Jeremiah 31. When Jeremiah predicted a new covenant, he said that the old covenant's going to wax away. It's going to vanish away. It's the ministration of death. It's the ministration of condemnation. Now, why is it that it brings death? Why does the old covenant bring death, but the new covenant bring life? Why does it bring condemnation? Listen to me very carefully. If you don't have the means, if you're not able to rid your soul of sin, then any law is going to produce death and condemnation. Did you know that, friends? If you're unable to erase sin, then it'll stay with you. Think about that. Think of all the sins in your life. What if they just piled up, they accumulated, and you still had them on your heart? They were not blotted out. Well, then you're going to face death. You're going to face condemnation. Because when you go to judgment, God's going to say, look at all the sins that you've had. Look at all the horrible things you've done. But if you know Jesus, he makes you righteous. He cleans you up. You're without spot or wrinkle. You may have sinned before, but he's forgiven you. And he says, come on, my child. I've got your reward right here for you. I've got heaven for you. I've got heavenly things for you. Now, the new covenant doesn't have the law of condemnation with it. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. It has a kind of message that says, you want to do good. You want to do what's righteous. You want to have contentment. You know, recently they did a poll of thousands of people, and they found out that the religious person was more happy and more content. I can understand that, of course. The religious person is more happy. Now, by religious, I mean knows Jesus Christ. All sinners are offered something by the New Testament, by the New Covenant. They're offered the blood of Christ. You see, people think they can have the blood of bulls and goats. That didn't take away sin. It didn't. But the New Covenant has the blood of God's sinless Son. He says in 1 John, listen to this now, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say you're not going to sin.
Maybe you'll fall into temptation. Maybe you'll give into it. But when I fall into temptation, when I give up to sin, I'm so sorry about it. I'm so regretful, and I'm so remorseful, and I ask Jesus to cleanse me. And you know, he's faithful. He's just, and he cleanses that sin from me. And I'm walking in the light. I'm continually in the light. I don't plunge into darkness. I'm walking in the light. I'm a different person. I've been saved. I have the new covenant. That's Jesus Christ. I have Christ within. He is the hope of glory. Now, this is very important because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God will forgive your sin, and he doesn't hold against you. The Old Testament, God did. He held those things against them. But now it's not true. The guilty sinner washed in the blood of the Lamb becomes clean and white as snow. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. Now, listen to this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, that's they would read the Old Covenant in the synagogues, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. They read the Old Covenant. Oh, look at what God has done for us. We've got the Old Covenant. We've got the Old Covenant to follow. We're God's chosen people, etc., etc., etc. They read it. They don't understand. They've got a veil over their eyes. You know, it's like wool. They've got a covering. They can't see. They're blind. For until this very day, that's the day of Paul, until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. It's done away. Here they are learning of the Old Covenant, saying, that's our covenant, the Jewish people. We're the people of God. That's our covenant. It's full of fault. It's not the glorious light. It's the shadow. And you don't understand. It's done away in Christ. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Hebrews 8, verse 13. This is a big contrast now between the old covenant, which is gone, which is decayed, which was vanishing even in the days of Paul, had been done away with. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. The new will remain forever, my friends. It is an everlasting covenant. And God offered it to the Jews and to the Gentiles. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. And that which is old, it's vanishing away. These things are wonderful things, are they not? These things are marvelous things. And the first covenant was just temporary. It was a stopgap, I guess you could call it. Christ didn't call it that when he came. It was a good thing. It was the best there was if they could have just followed it. But every one of them couldn't follow it. They tried, and it was done away with. Because the new covenant has the blood of Jesus. Isn't that better than the blood of bulls and goats? Isn't it, friends? Think about it. And when you say, I still believe in the old covenant that's still here today, you're saying the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient. That's not enough. We still need to go and sacrifice bulls. We need to sacrifice chickens or whatever. You don't want to insult Jesus, do you? Don't do that. Go forward with the glorious light, my friends, into the new covenant. Believe in the new covenant. Believe what Jesus did on the cross. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you won't regret it, my friends. You'll be happy forever because Jesus has an endless life. And he will give you your portion of that endless life. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's great being with you. Please tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.